Mental Health Monday Marathon with Mick Coyle on Radio City Talk.
Just gone 4:45, it's Radio City Talk. My name's Mick Coyle. We're into hour 7 of the Mental Health Monday Marathon. Jake Mills alongside me until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's about talking for 24 hours from a mental health point of view and kind of saying, well, if we can do it for 24 hours, maybe you can set aside 5 minutes with a friend, ask a family member how they're getting on, and we're going to be exploring 1,001 more different issues between now and I'll say 10 o'clock tonight when Pete Price is on. If you want to call, Pete Price is on air from 10 o'clock tonight. When Pete's here, we'll still be here, right, Jake? Yeah, we'll be in the studio.
We'll still be here. We won't talk because I don't think we'll get a chance, but we'll still be here.
We'll still be here with microphones.
Yeah.
Ready to go. Joining us in the studio now, I'm very pleased to say, we have podcaster Steph Hennigan. Steph, it's great to see you.
Hello.
Now, Steph, you've been a regular contributor to my programme on Liverpool Live for a good few years.
Yeah, you used to get me into to do the breakfast. Do you remember the papers on the breakfast?
Me, invite somebody in at a really inconvenient time.
You've got 10 minutes, pick some stories, talk about them. Like, oh.
But you're, for the first time, I think this is, from a public point of view, going to talk about your own mental health.
Yes.
So thank you for, you know, thinking that this is a safe enough platform for you to do that. Hopefully it is. And hopefully the kind of people who are going to be listening to the show today will hear your story and think, actually, here's a good example of somebody, you know, talking about their own mental health. Not everyone has to do it on the radio, of course.
No. I mean, I'm quite open about it. Me and Jake have spoken about my mental health and his mental health to each other a lot, haven't we? Yeah. A lot of DM conversations. So, you know, I'm open about it in that I have suffered from depression in the past and anxiety and how it's affected me, and you know, but I don't broadcast it. I don't make a thing out of it. I think something that I've learned along the way is that depression doesn't define me as a person. It's just something that will happen to me, and it's happened a number of times. I think the first time was when I was a teenager. And just going through, you know, rough times as you do as a teenager. And I had a miserable few years. And I had lots of support from doctors and consultants and stuff like that. But like, these are very formative years, and so I can kind of remember it, but it's very hazy. I just know it was a bad time. And I got through it. And then I think, naively, I just thought, well, that's it. You know, you tick it off the list and you're done. I've done that. Been depressed, that's it. And then about 4 years ago, it came back. And I can, for my teenage years, there were triggers, and I can say, this is why, and this is why, and this is why. The last time it happened, there were no triggers. I can remember being very angry, because there's no cause, there's no reason. And I had a bad time.
So did you recognise the feeling of depression without recognising those things that would normally have flagged them up?
Yeah. And you know, it's overwhelming. It is. It's just this overwhelming sadness and gloom and grey, and just, you know, it's depression, you know, it's not a pleasant time. But I can remember trying battling against it and not allowing myself to realise that that's what it was for a while. And then when I did, I was like, I need to speak to someone. And I think something that's been mentioned previously on the show today is employers and, you know, the responsibility that they have towards people. And in my last job, in the job where this happened, it was occupational health that got me to speak to an amazing counsellor. And I think a lot of people might be reluctant to speak to occupational health, especially about things like mental health, because, you know, it could be seen as, you know, you don't want your boss to know. You might be seen as weak. But if I hadn't have had that conversation, if I hadn't spoke to occupational health, I wouldn't have had that help. And I wouldn't have got through it. And it's, you know, as terrible a time as it was, I kind of weirdly feel very glad about it, because it's made me into a really strong person. Like, so many things that I've done, I would never have done if I hadn't have gone through that. You know, there's yeah, there's just loads of things in my life that I wouldn't have achieved if I hadn't have been through that. And you learn a lot about yourself. So,
and it started with a conversation.
Yes.
And actually that idea that it was either a taboo thing to do or there was a stigma around doing it, you said, right, well, I'll bite the bullet on that. Mm-hmm. I'll have that conversation. And in doing so, you were able to get that help.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that absolutely follows in line, though, doesn't it? It falls in line with that thing of where, and Clark Carlisle talked about, you know, take responsibility for your own mental health. Steph spotted those signs. Those signs came around again, or she spotted the depression falling upon her and thought, right, this time I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah, and I think what Steph's done in going to occupational health, as you said, I mean, in general, I would say that people probably would ask for help from, you know, the first place they would go maybe would be to a GP, then maybe have a look online for something else. I would say probably in general it would be quite far down the line before somebody asks for help via the employer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that you have said that, because, you know, I don't know whether that would have been brought up today, but you're the perfect example of somebody who has gone to the employer, who's asked for help, who's received help. And now you're a better person for that. You've made that recovery. And I mean, to not have any grey area, and that, you know, was that ever used against you by an employer?
No, it wasn't. And I think I was very lucky in that respect, because, there's an awful lot of work that needs to be done around that. And I do think employers have to shoulder responsibility, because life is hard, and, you know, jobs are hard, and you expect a lot from a person. If you're not putting the same back in, then, you know, that balance isn't there. So, yeah. And, you know, today I'm still not 100%. I went through a period in the summer where I became really anxious, lots of anxiety. But I think it's because I know myself so well that I was like, this isn't depression. It's like, this feels like, it felt like a chemical imbalance. That's literally what it felt like. So I went to the doctors and I said to her, I was, remember, sat there and I was like, I'm really happy with my life, like floods of tears, because I was really happy but just overwhelmingly anxious. And she said, well, what do you want to do about it? You know, do you want to speak to someone? I said, no, I think I need medication. And so I'm on a very small amount of an antidepressant, and anxiety wise I can manage, and, you know, I'm very good at managing that. But again, I think that's another thing. Medication can, there's a huge stigma around it, and there's very much the thought that, oh, it's a last resort. And you're like, well, no, it's not. It's not a last resort. If you're not well, you take medication, just because it's mental health. You know, you've talked a lot about depression and anxiety and that kind of thing, but there's other aspects of mental health, like schizophrenia, borderline personality disorders, that managed with medication, these people live a normal life. That's amazing. So I think that's the kind of thing that I will openly say, I have anxiety and I take this and I feel great.
Can I ask you about gender on this one as well? Because actually, so many times, we all know the stats about men, suicide, 20 to 49, biggest killer, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. 25% of suicides are women. Mm-hmm. If we link that in with depression as well, do you feel like that's people associate things like eating disorders with women, or postnatal depression as a baby-related thing to women, and there's not that much awareness of the fact that women can get depression in the same way that men can get depression?
I don't know that there's not awareness. And I think the suicide stats, I understand that more men commit suicide, you know, commit suicide than women. I think men do it particularly in a more violent and often successful way. So I think that will lean towards it. But I don't know. I think maybe women get on with things a bit more. But that's a huge generalisation. You know, it affects everyone.
That's going to be one of our late night conversations, by the way, Jake, about the gender differences, expectations of men and women. Anecdotally, they said that women are more likely to share problems with friends, and men aren't likely to do that. Mm. That's one of the other things that's, that kind of gets discussed as well. But that idea of men being the men and depression and it being something that needs to be taken on is seen as like a male thing now, right?
Yeah, I think statistics, I'm not the biggest fan of them, as you know. I think
you killed my stats right at the top of the program. A lot of stats lined up straight away. You went, that one in four thing's nonsense.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
But I think statistics can tell a certain story that you're trying to tell. And I think because more women might go to a doctor to receive antidepressants, for example, doesn't necessarily mean that more women are getting help or coping better. So I think statistics can tell a certain story, but yeah, I'll look forward to that gender one because I've got a lot to say about that.
Jake Mills is with us. Steph Hennigan, thank you for your time. The Rider podcast is a music podcast which you contribute to regularly.
Yeah, and we try and do a lot. Well, I personally try and do a lot around mental health on the podcast. So yeah, it's always nice to hear when people get in touch and say that we've helped in a small way.
Thanks for sharing your story on the Mental Health Monday Marathon on Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday Marathon. Tackling the stigma.